What's up, everybody, and welcome into Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago, and Brian, you know, our buddy Gabe, well, he'd be here, but he realizes that there's 24 hours, 24 straight hours of wrestling between NXT, WWE, AEW, AAA, so he's bowing out for this show. Too much to cover.
I thought he was gone because, according to ESPN.com, he's an NBA expert. They asked him for his finals prediction, so I thought he was too big time for us.
He's a Bucks fan. He can be an NBA expert.
NBA expert. Check at ESPN.com.
I don't know how that's the case, but nonetheless, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, at Good Karma Wrestling on Instagram. We can lose a lot more followers there. And also on YouTube, YouTube.com. Thank you so much for your support on YouTube, for watching us, whether it's live here on Thursdays or throughout the week. Thank you so much for continuing to help us out on YouTube. And, of course, podcast-wise, take us with you in the car or wherever you hear your podcast. Check out Good Karma Wrestling and share. Like, share, and subscribe, by the
That's
way.
Right.
Don't be selfish. Make sure you share Good Karma Wrestling as we continue to grow day after day with this podcast. Well, we always have three big stories in wrestling, but there's only one big headline. Let's start with number one, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it this weekend. R-Truth released from the WWE. Carlito, his contract not being renewed. A lot of backlash to R-Truth internally and externally. To throw this out there, does the term WWE lifer exist anymore?
No, because I believe the WWE is just TKO. We can just change the letters. As you saw with the Good Brothers, what they had to say, right? I mean, so we are talking about Carl Anderson and his big goofy friend next to him. They said it doesn't feel like WWE anymore. It feels like TKO. And the WWE lifer, I still think that that exists to an extent, but ultimately this is TKO and what they want to do. Triple H has to do what TKO says. They look at the books, Brian, and they go, R-Truth, huh? Is he in your main events? He's going to be at Saturday Night's main event. No, but is he in your main events? Is he a factor? Well, no, he's kind of a comedic character. Okay, gone. Okay, Sarah Logan. Is she part of the mix? Like, no, not real. Okay, gone. So they look at that, and they look at Carlito Colon and go, Carlito Colon, comedic foil. But is he in the title picture? No, okay, gone. So the only thing that's left is Orton and The Miz. So I would say a little bit is still there, but ultimately TKO is doing this business.
So the other thing is that, like, seeing this backlash from, you know, wrestlers, and apparently they were told on Monday, hey, you can't wear R-Truth shirts because some of them wanted to. I believe Rhea posted a picture backstage of her wearing one. Doesn't there come a time, and I guess when you're TKO and you're this big, you're just a faceless franchise, where it is more name than number, where it is more like, hey, this guy's been here 20 years. Everyone loves him. Like, to have a company and to have so many wrestlers be that outspoken, be like, hey, our company sucks for getting rid of this guy. Doesn't that trump things at some points? They had a record gate at Mania and this show and that show. Like, I just don't understand it. To answer the question, no, I don't think it exists anymore, but I'm baffled on how it doesn't.
I just, this is the part of the show where I say every year when I go through cuts, Brian, they don't have to cut anybody.
No.
When you make money like that, look, we understand business, you and I. We understand budget. It happens in entertainment all the time. What I'm saying is that you can allocate those wrestlers to some other place. Like, you have NXT, you've got other places where you can be able to put those wrestlers and say, hey, we have nothing for you here, but you can help us over here. It's still a big company, and you still have room for everybody. So anytime that they cut someone, I always say, well, why? You don't have to. Now, I will tell you this, honest to God, I didn't know there'd be so much backlash for R-Truth, only because cuts are commonplace in WWE.
Right.
I never thought that the wrestlers that you just mentioned would line up solidarity and go, not R-Truth, that's our guy, not R-Truth. Because they didn't do that for a lot of guys.
Right.
I mean, for women and men that just came and went, it's like, okay, well, that happened. But R-Truth, I think that the wrestlers and the personnel in the back drew a line in the sand.
And that's why I'm surprised, because, like, you are in competition, whether you say it or not, and you conveniently schedule on the same days at AEW.
Yeah.
To get rid of a locker room leader like that, we see it in sports. We see some of those veterans that maybe don't need a roster spot, but the front office and the coaches say, hey, we need this guy in our locker room. They're a big part of this team. We need them there. If you're going to be cutting guys like R-Truth, you mentioned Orton and Miz. is The Miz someone that's, you know, uncuttable? Like, that's something where if you're like, do I want to be in this locker room or should I go to AEW, where it seems like there might be a little bit more care for the person?
I mean, to me, I mean, if it's The Miz and Orton, like, Orton's a Hall of Famer and Miz will be in the Hall of Fame as well. But could you imagine Miz in the on the Indies? What that's like? Holy cow. With his five moves of doom? Holy smokes. And he doesn't mind being a heel. He loves the heel. But right. I mean, in that environment, in front of 250 people, you go see him in Boca. And I see him in suburban Chicago at some place where it's 700 people. Could you imagine the backlash? Like, oh, God, this Fed guy, this sports entertainer, get him out of here. And then you get some indie freak that's putting on 100 different moves.
Uh-huh.
And like a Miz with his five. I mean, oh, my God. Imagine what that looks like.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fun. That's not something I want to see. But like, it's just, who else are you putting on that list? If it's someone like, all right, they're never going to get cut. I think those are two good options. The other guy I threw out there, Roman and Rollins.
Yeah, so I just think that Roman, because he's in and out of the movies and he will be doing a lot more television, like he's really down to part time. He's Lesnar at this point. So I don't think that he's going to be rolling out there every week. So I think that he's uncuttable to the point like, yeah, I know I'm making a big salary, but you need me as a main character. You mentioned who's the other guy you mentioned?
Rollins. I feel like he's such a blind loyalist to that company right now.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about this at some point on the show about when Seth's contract was coming up or something like that. Could Seth go back to AEW or go to the Indies or something?
Becky's was up, so we wondered if there was any sort of correlation there. I believe is how we talked about it.
That's it. That's it. Like a steel trap. I remember everything, Brian. No, I don't. I feel like Seth could stay in WWE because, you know, again, the character, right? Babyface, heel, still getting babyface applause and all that. And who knows how many bumps he's got left in his bump card, but I see him staying. Becky, maybe not. But I think that there's a few. You say there's no WWE lifers, but I think that I named the first two. Like, if Miz is gone, okay. But I just think that, okay, well, The Rock, obviously, he's a lifer. So there's The Rock. Yeah. So I just think that, again, I never think you could cut anybody. You shouldn't have to cut anybody. You should always figure out, okay, if it doesn't work on the main stage of Raw and SmackDown, here's some other places that you can go. And if it doesn't work there, then I get, okay, we're going to move you off. But, yeah, it happens. It's commonplace. WWE and AEW, too. AEW does it quietly. Quietly.
Let's let it play out. But, like, that backup quarterback role, like, we've seen in the NFL, they're backup quarterbacks that have jobs for two decades. Because, like, we like this guy. That, I don't think, exists in the WWE anymore. Like, the Brooklyn Brawler doesn't get to work there for 75 years. Like, someone like that is like, who's this guy? Like, we got to get rid of that salary and save us some pennies. Like, that, to me, is gone nowadays.
None of those guys can work in the back, huh? They can't be agents?
Right.
Okay.
It's weird.
I just think that R-Truth is quite the choice. And of course, I was not privy to the fact that he was going to get cut. We thought it was odd at the time that he's on Saturday Night's Main Event against John Cena. We understand what was going on, but it's almost like Cena said, all right, you know what? You're going to be cut in a couple weeks. You know, you've been my biggest backer. Let's do a 3-minute match because I can't do it anymore, you know?
So. And also reports out this week, Fightful had it yesterday. Friend of show Karrion Kross apparently has not been approached about his new deal and his current one expiring in the next month or two.
Man, that's got to get done, man. I know this is not a sports talk show, and we don't have like the list of salaries. We can't go to Spot Track and just like look it up. Killer Kross. Oh, he's making $2.5 million. Like, it's not like we could do it with sports. I don't know how much he's making. But it can't be hurting the company that much that you feel like, yeah, I got nothing for you. Unless Triple H says you're way too outspoken, you do too much press, even though they ask him to, and you're gone. So,
and which might be better for him at this point. Like, if they're not going to use him, like, he's not in Money in the Bank this weekend, like, maybe he's better off going out there and essentially pulling a Drew McIntyre.
I suppose I just, you know, we the conversation you had with him was awesome, as usual. And it really dug into where he is as a character in WWE and gave absolutely chapter and verse the reason why he did that. He did that because it's like everybody's got storylines at WrestleMania and I don't, so I'm going to do this. I love the best line in the interview is asking, you know, the people that's running that podcast for WWE, so what would you like? What do you mean? What do I like? So what would you like? Would you like a straight interview? Would you like me to really tell you how I feel? What would you like? I chuckled when I heard that the first time. What would you like? Would you like me to go off and be batshit crazy? Or would you like for me to tell a storyline story? It's awesome.
Hey, he won me over, so maybe he'll be on the free agency market soon.
We've always got a three count for you here on Good Karma Wrestling. While we're doing this, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to Good Karma Wrestling. What's number one?
All right, this weekend, 7 o'clock Eastern in LA, it is Money in the Bank. So, of course, we got to get our predictions in. We'll start with the men's side. Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, Penta, Seth Rollins, Andrade, and El Grande Americano competing for the briefcase. Who wins the men's Money in the Bank?
Well, I think it's hilarious that El Grande Americano, in some ways, is wrestling twice that day.
Uh-huh. Yes.
In some ways. So the doppelganger of Americano will be wrestling Chad Gable. He'll be part of the show. So I think that's interesting.
Stephanie McCare also pulling double duty Saturday. She's on that AAA show and then in the women's match.
Well, you got to do that, Brian. We got a thin roster.
Of course, yes. That's why we have a four-match card at Money in the Bank.
You're just barely just making your way as a company, that fledgling young company, WWE. Some guys have to wrestle twice.
That's how it goes, yeah. They have to break down the ring after also.
I can see that too. So let's do process elimination. So I'm going to move El Grande Americano out of that. I'm going to X him out.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got Andrade. Well, Andrade's there because, well, AAA is coming. And so that's what he's there for. It's like a couple of these guys, like five or six of these guys, Brian, that are just stuck in the middle.
Uh-huh.
They're just stuck. There's a couple of tag teams on SmackDown that's just stuck. So I'm going to move Andrade, even though he's going to have a good showing, out. Okay. So we go to Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, Money in the Bank. I don't think he needs Money in the Bank. No. I don't think he needs that as a leader of the new Dangerous Alliance. So I'm crossing Seth out. Another great performance by Seth. But, I mean, you're the leader of this new group. You carrying a briefcase looks like a mark. You're like, look at what I got. Like, so
Heyman would have to carry it. You know that.
It just doesn't make sense. So now we're down to three. What's missing in this list that we have here is the young upstart. Don't have that. We got three established veterans and Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, and Penta.
Yep. The best part, in my opinion, of Money in the Bank every year is that upstart that the fans are behind, that the internet's behind. You're like, wait, are they going to do it? Which would have been Karrion Kross. And you look at the six of them and you're like, I don't really want to see any of them win this match.
Yeah. So LA Knight, to me, is out. He's already had championship gold before. He'd look weird with a briefcase. Yeah, I'm going to have the championship. Yeah, like, you're not going to win the championship.
Right. That window's closed. Where he is. You missed the train on that. They had a couple years ago. He got that Roman match. Like, the ship sailed.
God bless him. I mean, he's where he is. Merch sales are probably still high. It's over, but you're in the mid-card. And hey, at least you're on TV. Cool. So now it goes down to Solo Sikoa and Penta. So, Solo Sikoa, who pretty much at this point is a manager.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much. And kind of in a weird storyline, he's doing jokes now. I mean, Solo Sikoa now, he's not even a wrestler. He's a stand-up comedian.
Right.
He's pretty much doing it. Yo, mama's so fat. Say it like it was, Jacob, when you said you love me. Moving side to side with the shoulders. Like, what's he doing? So he's doing stand-up comedy. So it's not Solo. So I think Triple H is very high on Penta.
Hmm.
I think he is. How about that entrance every time?
Oh, yeah.
He's over, man.
Yeah, but the allure of the briefcase is, oh, this person's a future world champion, and they could be a world champion at the end of the year. Do you see that with Penta yet?
No, but I think that you gave a model that's not around anymore. I don't think that. I think that's the old model. I think that Penta could cash in and just lose. I'm just telling you, like, because you know why? I would give more of an opportunity for a young person to say, okay, you're next, right?
Right.
Like when he's good, like when he's good NXT kids. But these are all veterans here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Gabe and I talked about it a couple weeks ago. There's no young talent on this roster. Like, we were trying to come up with the last time someone under 30 was world champion in that company.
Wow, that says something, doesn't it?
Like, that's insane. So I think Rollins wins and it adds to the storyline. And like, you have the unnamed faction, you know, with the briefcase and with that looming. But to me, I look at this match, I'm not excited at all about the men's side of Money in the Bank. I don't think it's the main event. I'm not excited about any of the six of them winning. The only even fun part that I could book is you give it to El Grande Americano just for the comedy storyline of Chad Gable running the briefcase out, trying to cash in. And they're like, no, that's not yours. Like, El Grande won it. And he's like, no, no. And then you had that misunderstanding.
So you're making it a comedy angle. That's what you just did. Comedy.
Well, if you're not going to give one of these guys the world title and none of them outside of Rollins deserve the world title, then might as well do something with it.
I know Chad Gable is happy for all the TV time and the attention.
Sure.
But deep down in a quiet moment, he's got to think, every time I'm myself, I lose. But when I put this mask on, I'm over.
Right.
What does that mean? Why can't Chad Gable get over the same way as El Grande Americano?
And he's competing for the AAA mega title against Vikingo earlier in the day. Big day for him.
Well, you know what? I can ride with you if you want to make this a comedy foil, a comedic foil. Fine. But I think that there's money in Penta. Now, sure. Again, not winning Jey Uso's championship. And it certainly won't be John Cena's championship.
Oh, Cena versus Penta isn't on the farewell tour?
Could you imagine? You think Cena's broken now?
I know.
You think he can't move now? Holy smokes. Way too fast for him. Yeah. That's why he takes on the R-Truths and the Cody's of the world.
He's right.
At his pace, a nice slow dance.
Uh-huh.
So we disagree. I'll go Penta, you go El Grande Americano. And I'm just trying to think about how Triple H would see this. I don't see LA Knight. Seth Rollins wouldn't make sense. Solo Sikoa, if you want to just do something to keep the bloodline alive and him winning, that's fine. But again, I just don't see it.
Yeah, Rollins is the only other one I can make a case for because then it just adds to that group. But very disappointed. The four match card, you have the men's, you have the women, which we'll get into also. Cody and Jey Uso versus Cena and Logan Paul, and the women's IC title with Lyra and Becky. Four matches, 2 hours maybe?
Maybe a shade over two. Yeah. That's it. They got to fit in. They got to retrofit this card in so UFC will have their show at 10 o'clock Eastern. This is all TKO business.
Wow.
It is. I mean, and so Money in the Bank for some is a premier event.
Yeah.
Some people are Royal Rumble people. Some people are WrestleMania people. Some people like Money in the Bank. Like, oh, I love the drama of getting that briefcase. And it's like, it's just uninspired on the men's side. It's just not great.
But they look at it as a big deal also. Like the WrestleMania moving out of New Orleans announcement. It's like, hey, you don't have WrestleMania, but you got Money in the Bank next year. Like that was the big consolation prize. And it's like, do you want this four-match card?
It sucks for them, for New Orleans, because will it be sold out? Yes. Will you make as much money? They'll claim, WWE will say, the biggest grossing show in the history of New Orleans sports. or the history of New Orleans, which is
that just means you charge a lot. That's all that means.
Like, that's all it is. Thank you. Thank you. You think Bill Watts, when JYD was on top in New Orleans, you think you want to charge $200 a ticket? He did.
Right.
That's why it was five. It's 5 or 15. That's what it was. They would say back in the day, I love this. Back in the day, Brian, they'd go, well, folks, for this card, it's going to be championship prices. Okay. 20. That's how they'd phrase it. Like, championship prices.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that means a little bit more. And so, because it was a big card, right? Here, I mean, it's unbelievable. So, what about the other side?
Yep. All right. So, on the women's side, you talk about intrigue, you talk about young talent. We have plenty of it there. The women's Money in the Bank, Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Rhea Ripley, Julia, Naomi, and Stephanie Vaquer. Sign me up for all six of them winning.
Man, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard to choose. Okay, process elimination. That's how we got to do it. Okay. I can't eliminate any of them. So I can't, right? I can't do process of elimination. Okay.
Well, here, so, I'll give you the first one. Do you eliminate Rhea? Rhea doesn't need this.
I agree. I cross Rhea out. She doesn't need a Money in the Bank briefcase.
Right. She's the star of the franchise. Like, she's going to add to that match. She's going to have some great spots. She doesn't need that briefcase.
Okay.
After that, I don't know.
All right. Well, let's cross Naomi off the list.
So Vegas does not agree with you there.
Okay, well, I would feel better about Naomi if she won some matches. How about some matches?
Sure. How about
she gets buried every time she goes out there, does a great promo, by the way. Great promo we saw on SmackDown from Knoxville, Tennessee. Horrible crowd. So great job on the promo. But then, once again, she gets beat down or there's something that's going on. And I feel like she could be one of the favorites, but I don't see her with the briefcase.
So Bet Online, according to the betting odds, Naomi is the favorite at minus 280. Rhea is second on that list at plus 300.
Well, they're definitely not winning now that that's out there. So we're going to cross that out right there. And by the way, Naomi is a veteran carrying that briefcase, kind of dangerous. Never know when she's going to show up. I mean, the whole caution sign, the whole Owen Hart gimmick. I like it.
Yes.
A lot, actually. But I don't think, I think she's going to fall short because, once again, for us, it's about the youth.
Right.
Who's next. And so this is why it's difficult. So Alexa Bliss, why every time I see her, I feel like there's something going through her mind where it's like, yeah, I'm going to get over. Like there's going to be something. Like when she shows up, it feels like she's going to win no matter what. Does she win this thing?
I don't think so.
Has she had a briefcase before?
No. Like I am a big fan of her. I don't quite know what they're doing with her. I mean, you have the whole Charlotte stuff also. Like she's very over, but I don't know if they give her this just yet.
So we cross her out. Now we got really young. We got Roxanne Perez, Julia, and Steph Vicaire. Oh man. So this. So I'm going to cross out Roxanne Perez because maybe not yet.
Yes, that's someone you're talking about not winning matches. She never wins matches.
So just not yet. Not yet for her. Now we come down to the two young stars, Julia and Stephanie Vicaire. How about if I make this pitch to you? Stephanie Vicaire wins because she lost the NXT championship out of nowhere.
I'm fine with that. Also, real quick on Alexa, she did win it back in 2018, remember, she cashed in on Ronda later that night.
See, there we go.
I had to look that up. Now that I look at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
Steel trap.
So, yeah, Julia and Stephanie are definitely, you know, they're putting a lot behind. We've seen what they did in NXT where they would give them belts and they would lose belts and they were together and they weren't together. I'm fine with the two of them being up there, but are they fine if one of them doesn't win the belt? Or are we just guaranteeing whoever wins this briefcase will then be a champion in a year?
I feel like whoever wins is going to be champion sooner than you think.
So all time, women, there have been 7 women's ladder Money in the Bank matches. 7 for 7, cash-ins become champs.
Mm-hmm. I think that's Stephanie Vicaire. However, she's a babyface. Julie as a heel, I could see being able to do this and cash in. That could be.
I'm fine with it. Like I said, I'm good with all 6 of them. Also, check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/AtGoodKarmaWrestling. Stephanie's conversation with us at WrestleMania week. But, like, this is what this match should be. Like, when you have the intrigue where every slow climb up that ladder, you're like, is this it? Is this going to do it? And then it isn't. And you get that intrigue. The men's match is like, all right, whatever. Like, this should be the main event Saturday. I feel like it won't be, but it should be what closes the night.
I would agree with you because I think that there'd be so much applause for one of these young ladies to win at the end of the night because you're making them in a big moment. And so Stephanie Vicaire or Julia. So, okay, I circle Stephanie Vicaire, but she's a baby face. And I don't see her sneaking in to try to be able to cash in, but Julia would.
Right.
So I'll go with Julia. That's my choice for the women's Money in the Bank. And by the way, the money obviously is in Julia and Vicaire for WrestleMania or whatever. For them to go one-on-one at some point.
I'm going to go Naomi. I'm hoping that, like, they're slowly giving her a push. They're moving her up. And maybe one day she gets her shot as a champion here in a prominent role. So I'm going to say no, Naomi wins it Saturday.
How about her being able to win some matches before you just give her the briefcase? Is that a thing?
Wins and losses don't matter there. You know that.
Oh, stop. I didn't know. I'm working with Road Dogg Jesse James.
Yeah, that's their motto. It's not mine. They tell us that.
That's not true. I love the young upstart Naomi winning the. So that's our choices. All right. So what do we have next, sir?
All right. AEW last night, a 14-hour AEW Dynamite. More of it next week. One of the highlights of the night was a promo from Ospreay where he says guys like himself, Hangman, Swerve, Tony, and Kenny Omega are the reason for AEW's turnaround. Who is the biggest reason for AEW's turnaround right now?
Let's start here first. Ryan, when business is bad, you don't tell the audience business is bad.
Yeah.
Can we get on the air, by the way, and just say, yeah, our budget, we're down in our budget this month. We're in the mud, but we're going to try to get surge through for the fall. We wouldn't say that in an open microphone.
No, that's weird.
So why would you do that in your wrestling? And this has this WCW vibe. And this is where Tony Khan, and again, he's so kind and he won't ruffle any feathers and everything's fine, but someone's got to be able to grab these guys or have a meeting. And believe me, nobody leads radio and television and digital in meetings than this company. But the point is that you have to have a meeting and a conversation and say, hey, here's the things that I don't want you to say. And here's the things that you can say, right? We are still in a corporate structure. I know we're not TKO, we're not WWE, but we have to have a corporate structure in which, hey, Will Ospreay, don't say that the company's down.
Right.
What you do is you talk about, you accentuate the positives of the company. I saw, you tell me if you saw it too, Brian, I could have swore I saw Ospreay say, the reason why AEW is down is because of Jon Moxley being champion.
Yep, that was uttered on TV last night.
No way. Right. No way. You can't say that because the perception is, oh, if Ospreay says it's down, then AEW really does suck. You can't say it sucks. We just went through this in WCW. We just went through this with Vince Russo. The whole thing of, here's what we're going to do. Bro, we're going to move the millionaires over here, and then we'll have the young kids over here because future of our business is in the kids and not the millionaires club, because right now WCW sucks. Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh,
all right. Tell the audience that what you're watching sucks.
Tune in Monday night.
Yeah. You can't do that.
No, I agree. And that part was weird. And like, I do think AEW is in a good spot right now. I think things are hot. I do think like there's not as much Mox in your face, which is nice, but like, we can acknowledge that Mox is hurting the company. I don't want to hear that from them. Like, and just a different angle, like, oh, you're trying to hurt this company. We're even like Cena's doing like, oh, I'm trying to ruin pro wrestling. But you don't hear other people saying like, oh, like no one cares about us because of this. Like, it's just different.
You just can't say that, Brian. I mean, again, the perceptions is reality. People can go through every, dirt sheet and all this wrestling information and do all that. But ultimately, the reason why that Denver was filled on Wednesday night is because people believe in the product.
Yeah.
The reason why they draw whatever they draw from the pay-per-view that we saw last from them, Double or Nothing, 8,000-9,000 people in Glendale, Arizona, to these unique venues they've been going to. And it's because, again, business is down. That's why they go to 2,000-seat venues. And that's fine. But you don't tell the audience that. The story is, for me as a babyface, I got to get this title off of Jon Moxley because he has a haze over the company or a darkness over the company. And we now need to bring this into light. So I'm going to be the guy, or Swerve's going to be the guy, or Hangman's going to be the guy, but we're going to not turn business around. We're just going to get this cloud away from the company. That's all you got to say.
Yeah. That accomplishes the exact same stuff without then pointing out also like, oh yeah, times are bad right now.
You don't say it. That's all. And so, because the AEW fan, and I know there's a lot of diehards, but the ones that are in between and like, oh, they said that they're bad and they suck. Well, I'll go over here because McDonald's sells more hamburgers.
Right. Yeah. And WWE will tell you how much money they're making. It's record night every time they're out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think that we veer off.
A little bit. It's fine.
Okay. Give me your thoughts then about the question.
So biggest reason for the turnaround, because again, I think you mentioned it from an on-screen standpoint, they've been entertaining. They've been hot these last few months. And to me, the leader of that is Hangman. I think there is such intrigue in Hangman and everything Hangman touches. He gets you to care as a consumer. You want to see Hangman do well. You're concerned when Hangman's, you know, going through struggles. And now as he's on this path, potentially being world champion again, I think that's where a lot of this renewed hope is right now. It's like, all right, this is a good product. I'm excited to watch this every single week.
Yeah, I would agree. You had a choice. You can go with Will Ospreay as the guy, as the champion. And this is what I've been saying for weeks on this show, that I always thought that Ospreay should be the guy.
Yeah.
But Hangman Page turned things around, though, because, again, just a weird audience, man. That guy was burning someone's house down. Swerve Strickland's house down. It would maybe his kids in it. And uh-huh. Like, but yet people are behind him because he's an AEW original. It's an interesting way to go about business, but you know, you can see Hangman as the guy. Now, how long does he have the championship? That's another story.
Sure.
But I could see him at All in Dallas being able to step in there and just change things for AEW, where people can see the championship and you have a champion you can be proud of. This white t-shirt gang that I've seen enough of it. And mm-hmm. Look, I know that they respect Jon Moxley, but here's the thing. After he loses the championship, is the company better just because there's a new champion? I think they're trending in that direction, that's for sure. But Hangman Page is as the man, chasing Jon Moxley. Once he wins the championship, how does business go then? Is it better? Is it worse? Just remember, they're going to be in London.
Yeah.
And so you know that Ospreay's going to want his rematch. Be careful now. You might get yourself a Swerve Strickland or a Samoa Joe run as the champion. Short-lived.
Which I think is okay. Like, Hangman isn't hurt by stuff like that. Part of me still thinks Mox retains in Dallas and they're waiting for Darby. Oh. I hope I'm wrong, but part of me does still believe that. But you're telling these stories that are focused on the world title, but don't have all of Mox and the, you know, Death Riders in your face. Like, it's the Hangman side. It's the Ospreay side. We get Swerve and Ospreay next week on free television as part of another 4-hour show. Like, there's a lot of other things going on that isn't just, oh, yeah, here's the Death Riders again, telling with promos that don't make sense and the title that we don't see.
Yeah, let me just tell you, folks, about Brian Rowitz. Brian Rowitz wants to have AEW in the mud. You want them to close the doors. You want to as my wife says in television, you want them to sunset the company. There's no other reason why you'd say that unless you want AEW gone. Could you imagine 19, 20, 21,000 people they're going to have in Dallas and Moxley wins the championship?
If it's not the main event, then you sort of sweep it under the rug and Tony and Mercedes get the main event in Dallas.
You're out of your mind. The audience is tired of Moxley being champion. You go, that's okay, retain. Oh, my God.
Darby's down from Everest, and now they can go back to that booking.
Start from the bottom of Everest. Seriously, you've been away for so you go back down. The old school, he's out of the top 10 because he hasn't wrestled in a month. So that's what it is. He's out of the top 10. Well, I'm just telling you. Now he's got to dig his way back, climb his way back up again to, you know, like Ospreay's championship.
Can they use the Price is Right graphic of, the Yodeler going up the mountain?
Yes, that's exactly right. And I meant Okada's championship. He could be able to climb up to Okada's championship or something like that. Because you talk about ships that sailed. Before Everest, we thought that he'd be the new champion.
Yes. But he had other things to do.
That's his choice. That might have been written in stone. Like, hey, you know what? Moxley here, you're going to win the championship. And I know we talked about this too, when he had an opportunity to win the championship against Moxley and didn't work out,
it fell short.
So he goes to the bottom, and Hangman's the guy because more and more you see him, like we saw him on Wednesday. Brian is that promo man is just strong, and the people are behind him, and so You know, he doesn't have to do the drinking gimmick to get over. he's just doing a really good job. So,
and then, yeah, I agree. The other thing I would say with AEW, and I feel like the renewed sense of feeling good, is we look at them differently when WWE sucks. And WWE right now, they are on the down. Like, the Cena turn is not working. Jey Uso as champion is there. And, you know, there's not that one story in WWE that's like, oh, I'm excited to watch this every week. AEW is giving you some of that stuff right now.
But here's the thing, and this is when you have a neophyte booker like Tony Khan. So Saturday night, Inside the NBA is off the air on TNT. It'll move to ESPN, but it's off of TNT. They're at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Probably some people, you know, sad to see Inside the NBA off of TNT. Just really great stuff from Ernie Johnson and from Charles Barkley. Then you got Kenny and you got Shaq talking about this, and they're off the air. And the next thing you see is AEW Collision. And which is awesome for them, right? What an audience, right? Like, everyone wants to tune in and see what the last Inside the NBA on TNT looks like. And then it's like, here we go, Collision. They come on, Commander against Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah.
What, I mean, how are you not shooting your best angle?
Right.
How are you not having, like, you love to put pay-per-view matches on free TV. Why are you not giving us the best? See, that's where AEW lacks. Where I think they have momentum. But it's like the little details, Brian. Like, if you and I are booking this and it's like, oh, we're coming off of Inside the NBA. So, you know, people still got the TV on, right?
Right.
Oh, I can't believe this, man. What a great legacy. 37 years, 38 years on TNT. It's unbelievable. So now the TV's still on. So now you want to have, like, the Swerve Ospreay, issue that was backstage, or some five-star match, whatever. Claudio and Commander.
Remember they did that after, would have been the All-Star game maybe? It was something where they had a big audience before, and it was Ospreay and someone in a big match. I don't remember who, but it's like, oh, that makes sense. Do more of that. Yes,
and they did that. And by the way, this is no shade on Commander and Claudio, because it was a good match.
Right.
It was a good match. But the point is, like, hey, man, you have a huge audience. It's going to dwindle as the night goes on. But the point is, at your peak, tell people what AEW is.
Right.
And it's not a mass wrestler that doesn't win versus Claudio that's part of a group, and it's not explained. And then on top of that, you as a digital TV guy would have done this. I know you would have done this. Even though the show was taped in El Paso, you give Tony Schiavone the wild line of, well, we thank Inside the NBA. What a great run for Ernie Johnson. Something like that, right? Even though you don't know if the series is over.
Right.
Something along the lines of, hey, let me just tell you, what 37 years, what a great time. And so there's synergy there, right? So you do that, none of that. It was just completely disconnected from the biggest audience that you probably had coming off of Inside the NBA on TNT.
Awful. So I found my own tweet from December. It was the college football playoff in December that was on TNT. AEW followed it. It was Ospreay and Ricochet. Bravo.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yep.
But again, it's just the little details with that. That's when you tell Tony, hey, you probably should do this, this, this. He probably won't listen.
No.
The point is, though, that you're giving him advice on how to just keep that synergy, keep the audience hot, whatever. He had better matches as the night went on instead of putting it at the beginning, whatever. But as far as the company is concerned, you know, you make a great point about some of the good things they're doing where the storylines are tighter. Where it's not just matches, you start to understand what's going on. And from the WWE standpoint, it's funny that you mentioned this, because I think WWE fans don't want to admit this in abundance, Brian, but I just feel like what's going on right now is it's not the storyline of Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa. It's not the bloodline, so they're just searching.
Yes.
I said, if you are Triple H, you better hope that the bloodline's not your NWO, like Eric Bischoff, and have no second act. You know what I'm saying? You don't want that, because, you know, in WCW time, you had the NWO, and it's NWO black and white, and then red, and then LWO and all that. And then next tier, Sting, next tier Goldberg, you know? You hope for Triple H that he has more than just the Bloodline, and then like, well, the Bloodline's not around. Okay, so what's going on? Well, is this unnamed Paul Heyman group?
Yeah, and like that versus Punk, like that's not like what's the payoff there? You're not that excited about it. Like I said, both champions aren't doing anything to make you want to watch. Like they're in a tag match this week. It's just it's missing something right now.
Roman.
Yeah, that helps.
It's Roman versus Cody. That's what's missing, or Roman against anybody, because he's not around.
Right.
You know, and it's also the disconnect of The Rock and The Rock not really being with the company and not really sure what's going on there. So I think the audience, listen, and people are watching this and they're saying, oh, well, look at the numbers. Look at the ratings. Look at it. Listen, they're going to draw because they're the hot company. They're going to draw because everyone's going out to see it. Now, they may not be loud, but they're watching, right? Because they're the WWE superstars. But as far as sinking your teeth into like meaningful storylines, like, oh my God, it's okay, but it's not great.
There's a lot of skippable content on Mondays and Fridays right now.
Oh, it is, sir. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. I know we've got more. What is next? Because I know we've got some storylines. We've got Match of the Week. What else do we have?
Let's do some news and notes. We talk about all the wrestling coming up this week. We talked about Money in the Bank Saturday night at 7. Well, Saturday, 3 o'clock Eastern, WWE and AAA Worlds collide, the main event, the AAA Mega Title on the line, Vikingo against Chad Gable.
I think, as always, the WWE does a really good job as far as marketing. I guess we'll know this weekend exactly how much of this is getting over. Just because we see Vikingo on the other side of the rail waving and saying hello, it doesn't necessarily mean that that gets over with everybody. I understand why they're doing this, because this is a wrestling war. And in right now, it's in AAA, run by WWE, or will soon be run by WWE, and AEW and CMLL.
Right.
That's what's happening here. So it's a deeper battle than what we're used to. It's like, we're going to beat you in North America. We're going to beat you in Mexico. We're going to beat you overseas. We're going to beat you. Like, that's... it's something else, man. It just obviously we'll watch. I just like to see how that resonates moving forward.
Also, for those of you confused, not on Peacock Saturday, that will be on YouTube. Money in the Bank will be on Peacock. This show free on YouTube.
So there'll be more of an audience for this on YouTube. That way, everyone can get out of the tent and watch.
Right.
It'll be interesting. I don't know if you noticed or not, Brian, but do you notice this is called WWE's World Collide?
Of course.
Yeah, it's that, but they moved Triple H out, and they moved Triple A out of the way. What happened there? I thought it was a co-branded event.
So I get to see some new talent. Your guy Ethan Page defends the NXT North American title. So it'll be a fun show.
That's what it was. They sold us as a co-branded event.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's this WWE's Worlds Collide and a WCW IP from many, many years ago from the 90s.
Well, that comes from the ideas of, someone we might be seeing more of. Brandon Thurston reporting Vince McMahon's new company called 14th and I. It'll focus on sports, media, and entertainment. Brad Blum, former WWE longtime executive, will be the president. And Vince did recently sell some more TKO stock. So wrestling not out of the question, according to reports.
Yeah, so we should explain to the audience, 14th and I was the corner street where his dad worked when WWWF was in Washington, D.C. It was called Capital Wrestling at the time, and his old man, Vince's old man, and it's just a weird name for the cross street, but it's 14th and I. That's what it was. And it sounds so Vince, right? 14th and I, pal. I. It's me. But that's where his old man worked, 14th and I. And so he puts that as his new venture. And I just want him to go away. And he just won't go away. He's just so restless. We've talked about this on the show before, Brian, where Vince has been a failure at everything except wrestling. He's tried to have the football league twice. He's done Ico Pro with the World Bodybuilding Federation. He's tried other stuff, boxing. He's tried everything. And he's only good in movies. That's the shit that went into the tank, right? So he's done everything. He's tried everything. And so with this venture, it's just him trying to get his name in the news. I still feel like there's going to be a settlement in the case that he's in right now. And so he's going to feel like he's back on top of the world, and he's just going to work until he dies. He's dying right now that he can't be in the mix doing something meaningful. That's, oh my God. And so he's doing this. I heard the description. I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, no one does, but I would not be shocked if there's a wrestling company by the end of next year.
And will you get will you have an opportunity to go to these said events?
I don't know. That'd be interesting. I feel like he could have a former, you know, world champion that he's made money with before leading the way, pushing beer. Like, there are plenty of people that will still line up to work for Vince.
Are you saying that in this new venture, Hogan will drop the leg? Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying.
Against Brock Lesnar.
Against Cena. I feel like Cena's still a blind Vince loyalist.
So true. That's 100% true. But that, it just, he just won't let go, man. It's just, it's sad at this point.
Some indie wrestling news. The Young Bucks, Matt Jackson, says he and Nick would like to buy PWG if it's for sale. PWG has not run a show since 2023. The Bucks say they want to run a small indie company one day as well as a wrestling school.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's good. They're giving back to the wrestling community. PWG, I hadn't thought about that,
I know.
Run any shows. I hadn't thought about it at all.
Because essentially, I mean, AEW is PWG. Like, I mean, is that offensive? I don't think it is.
Oh, I think it is. Oh, boy. Heroics.
That's a compliment. People love PWG.
That is, you know, again, I would just say RIP to your mentions. Holy smokes. You just called AEW PWG.
From a wrestling, like, that's what PWG is known for. Like, the best wrestling. It's where the best wrestle. Now we get to watch it on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Oh, boy, that's something, man. Just because the play-by-play man came from PWG, and they haven't run Reseda, California recently, I don't think, AEW. So just I would just say that, again, if the IP and the tapes are available and they wrestled a ton of PWG, why not revive it? They got enough money. They got plenty of money to revive it. So, yeah, I think – and by the way, it's one of those things where it's the Young Bucks, people will follow it. Put themselves in a 5,000-seat arena. It's like, oh, it's the Young Bucks running it? Yep, we're all in.
Completely agree. Finally, in news and notes, you talked about earlier championship pricing. Well, how about this? West Coast Pro doing something a little different. They're running a mystery show on June 27th. Only 30 fans will be invited, and they will be part of the Proud to Pay program. What that means is after the show, they will pay whatever they feel the show was worth.
Well, that's interesting. Because that could be zero.
It could be.
Or it could be $20.
Right.
So you know they're going to load up the card.
Uh-huh.
With WWE ID people. And like the best indies, as much as they can find, based on the schedule. Some of the best indie talent they can find. And it's probably going to be great. It was West Coast Pro. So I think it's out of San Francisco, I think.
I believe.
I know that's going to be great.
Yeah, San Fran.
And so that is interesting to me.
I like the idea. They're getting headlined. You know, it's sort of, you know, we see what minor league baseball does things like this. But I'm curious to see how that goes.
Here's the funny part. Ryan Rowitz, how much are you giving at the end of the night?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you also want to sort of be cheap, and whether you spend the money, like, 50, maybe.
Really? I swear that I thought you were going to give 5.
I mean, I'll say 50 now. We'll see. Yeah,
I understand that things are going well in the company. I just didn't know that you had room for a 50 spot. I don't have $50 in my wallet right now.
Oh, I don't either, but I'm going to say it here to save face. So, you know, we'll see.
You don't care about popularity. You're the heel on this show. All right. So is there any more? I think there's another nugget, isn't it?
Nope, that was it for news and notes.
All right. Just so you know, folks, you can follow us on Twitter at GKW_wrestling, also on Instagram at Good Karma Wrestling, and of course on YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe. We do on YouTube. How about match of the week, sir?
Yes, matches of the week. I think last night, Dynamite, even though it was a long show, the four-way, Kenny Omega defending that title. Then we find out after those titles with him and Okada will be merged in Dallas. Not surprising when you have Kenny Omega out there that they put on a hell of a match.
Yes, they put on a hell of a match. Again, 4 hours is a big commitment to any fan. WWE wouldn't do that.
No.
But the idea, if they do that, they separate them on the same day.
Right.
That's how they would do that. Not a four-hour cluster. And by the way, this is Turner telling AEW, we don't have NBA anymore, so You want to go as long as you want? That's fine. Fill in the programming. That's so Which bad. I would not do that.
So this week is because they don't want to compete with all the WWE stuff on Saturday. I don't know the reason behind next week's. Maybe there's hockey on Saturday.
Maybe, but I mean, you put that on TBS.
Yeah,
I think the hockey's on TNT. I think exclusively. I think. I just think that you burn a town out that way too.
Yeah,
it's not just the TV audience. It's just like, when are they going to Denver anytime soon after this? 4 hours?
I don't know.
It's a commitment, right? So you don't want to kill the town. Anything else from match of the week from Raw or from?
I enjoyed the women's match on Raw of Vacare, Liv Morgan, and Ivy Nile. Yes. The qualifier. I thought that was a good match.
Why did I think Ivy Nile could find a way?
You know, like when you see the three of them on the marquee, you know which way it's going.
I'm just saying, man. Just like one time. Just give us something we're not expecting. Ivy Nile.
They did in the main event when you have Punk, AJ, and El Grande Americano. Like, okay, we see who's eating the pin. And then he won.
Something I did not expect, actually. That's true. To see him raise his arms after that, I'm like, would Punk and AJ? And by the way, straight up respect for Punk and AJ. Like, they slapped hands together before the match because they were like, man, we haven't wrestled in like 20 years.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, let's do this.
I believe Punk's on Instagram, it was 21 since they last had a match.
That's crazy. Two greats, and they have to be part of this three-way with a gimmick wrestler.
Is a guy like AJ or like Nakamura, does that end up being fat trimmed by TKO? Can we see them released and be free?
I can see Nakamura going back to New Japan.
Great.
I can see that. I mean, listen, he's had championship reigns. He's been evil. But we never, kind of like Okada in AEW, we didn't see the tippy top Nakamura
right.
in WWE. We just didn't see it. I love Okada though. Okada's in a lawn chair under an umbrella with a cool drink this whole time. Right.
He's getting ready for Kenny next month.
So don't forget to like, share, and subscribe everything we do on YouTube, youtube.com. Look for Good Karma Wrestling. And don't forget, I'm going to be on every Sunday on Busted Open, 9 to noon Eastern Time, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fight Nation Channel 156 in the SiriusXM app. And so Good Karma Wrestling we're here on Thursdays, but some of that flavor goes to Sundays.
There you go.
That's what I love. So for the absent, and unfortunately the beard's growing back, Gabe Neitzel and Brian Rose, this is Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for checking out Good Karma Wrestling. So long, everybody, from the Sunshine State and the land of Lincoln.